Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the bin slalom coming here this morning. Did anyone encounter that? Just coming down the road in my car, dodging all of the bins in our midst. It was very, very exciting. Whew. So before I get into the continued series on prayer, and this morning we're looking at Your Kingdom Come. So if you remember, we've shifted the order a little bit of the prayer, and that's because of the resources we're doing in our life groups, which is the prayer resource from the How to Pray book by Pete Gregg. Again, if you aren't in a life group, get into a life group. We have a pop-up life group happening on Thursdays at Chris and Jill Huff's house. Get along to that, and we're journeying this together as a church. So before we get into that, who is the most famous person you have met? Now, I haven't met royalty. Rebecca's grandfather had an MBE, so he got to meet the Queen. Who's the most famous person you guys have met? Thanks, I'm not that famous, but thank you. Can we have the first slide up as well? You can put your hand up, there can be some, but yes. Wow, is that a Duke of Edinburgh-related thing? Is that a gold-related? Wow. Can we just give a round of applause to Carl? She's got a gold and Duke of Edinburgh. Woo. Yes, Olivia. You met the Queen. She's trumped you there, hasn't she? She's met the Queen. A lot of royalty. Any other celebrities people have met? Robin? Imran Khan. Wow. Was that at a cricket match or? Wow. Was he good? Is he in fine form that day? Good. Was he in fine form that day? 8 wickets. Yes. Wow. Rock and roll, yeah. Woo. Okay, celebrities. So for me, you ready? Your Kingdom Come. Does anyone know who that is? Come on, room, I'm looking at you. That is Rob Jones. Woo. Played for Liverpool in the 90s and England. We went holiday as kids. And at the pool table, as my brother and I were playing, Rob Jones came in. We went up to Rob Jones and it felt a little bit embarrassing because it was his holiday and he was with his kids and, oh, it didn't feel quite right, but we got Rob Jones's autograph. That was exciting. Next one. Come on. Jeff Hurst. Yeah. So, we had a reunion with my uni friends at Keele, so many years after we went there, and we all went there. And at Keele University, they have a lot of the FA training events there. So we used to meet a lot of famous footballers there, like Peter Schmeichel and so on, doing their badges. And the one time we were there, Jeff Hurst was there. And his assistant was a rather beautiful young girl. So all my friends who were single swarmed around this beautiful young girl. And I went and had a chat with Jeff Hurst. Again, it felt a little bit weird. And you're having a chat with Jeff Hurst at a football conference and I shouldn't really be there. So I felt, not embarrassed this time, but I just felt out of place. Like, I shouldn't really be with Jeff Hurst. But I had a photo and I never really go on Facebook. But if you are Facebook friends with me, there's a picture of me with Jeff Hurst on my Facebook page. Ooh, that's quite impressive, isn't it? Okay. Chris Evans, on holiday, 15 with my parents, probably the penultimate year of going on holiday with your parents, Radio 1 Roadshow. Certain generation of people there, it's gone right over their heads, but for another generation, they're in that moment. And we were just at a restaurant, and Chris Evans was at the bar, so we go up to Chris Evans, had a chat, and he high-fived my dad. He went like, hi, man, and he high-fived my dad, and as like a 15-year-old boy, that ain't cool. That's not cool. So far, my celebrity journey is a mixture of feeling out of place and embarrassment and should it be right? There we go. Another one. Robbie Williams. So I had the privilege of going to Nebworth when I was 16 to see Oasis play. And it was amazing, like the crowning gig of Britpop. And I had my Oasis shirt on. And this was my last holiday with my parents. And we were down in Brixham. Oh no, actually Woolacombe this one was. I was in Woolacombe and I was with my brother getting an ice cream and he's a couple of years younger and a car drove past and my brother said, that's Robbie Williams. And I said, no, it's not. Why would he be in Woolacombe? Anyway, we walked over and it was Robbie Williams. He got out of the car and he was at Nebworth. He just left Take That and I had my Nebworth t-shirt on. He was like, yeah, Nebworth. And we had a chat and he recognized my accent and he asked what football team I support. And I said, West Brom. And he sang a West Brom song. Thank you. I've just dropped that in because we've got one other West Brom fan with us this morning. There are two of us. It's fine. And he sang a song. My brother was just awestruck. My brother's quite a confident guy. And he stood there and all the ice cream just went down his arm and just threw it. And he stood there. And it was Robbie Williams. And he went off. Okay. So my celebrity journey isn't very exciting. We're talking about the King this morning. And we're not entering his presence with embarrassment. We're not entering his presence with embarrassment. We're not getting in the way of something else as we enter his presence. It's not like Jeff Hurst was there for this conference and I gatecrashed his conference just so I could have a photo with him. God's not like that. He wants us. He wants us to engage with him, to be in that relationship with him. I'm not interrupting. When we're praying to God, when we're praying to the King, Father, we're not interrupting anything. I interrupted Rob Jones's holiday. That's quite a bad thing, isn't it? Just to get a photograph and an autograph. It's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. So, this morning, we're going to look at this one tiny bit of this amazing prayer. Your kingdom come. And we've been singing a lot already this morning about the King and his reign. And I want to just set the scene again, is that in this prayer is a wonderful prayer. It's building. And here the two times a prayer appears in the New Testament. The Lord's Prayer, sometimes known as Disciples' Prayer, because it's a prayer for us as disciples. So we have it in Luke and in Matthew. And as I said, as this series we're looking at, we've jigged the order slightly. But this is the order it should be, because it's an order about building. It's all about setting the scene in the right way. When we engage with people, we do things the right way. We're engaging with our Father God here. So a few weeks ago, Jason was amazing. He blew our mind about the first few words of this amazing prayer. Our Father. And we could just stop there. Our Father. This is the way we approach God. Our Father. He wants to be in relationship with us. He's craving that relationship with us. He wants to be in relationship. We can step into that relationship without embarrassment or hesitation or worry. We're not getting in God's way. He wants this relationship with us. And we carried on, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. So approaching God in the right way. And last week, John Room was fantastic again, talking about our daily bread. But in skewing that order, we miss something about kingdom coming and will being done. And that'll be next week's one. So I learned these prayers as a kid, and many of you probably had a similar experience. This is before I knew God. We used to say these prayers in my primary school every day. Our Father, who art in heaven. Once again, as a child, what does art mean in all these different words? And thys and these and all this kind of stuff. But I knew this prayer. And it was something just got deep ingrained into me. And even before I knew God, he knew me. And I'd pray these prayers in times of trouble. I'd pray this prayer when people I love died or I was in trouble. I got into a little bit of trouble in school, which is a whole other story I can recount another time. I got next to my bed and prayed this prayer before I knew Jesus. And there's just something resonates in this prayer. But the first thing I want us to think about is the order, the rhythm. It's setting the scene. There's something about doing things the right way. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. So if anything out of this morning, I want our minds to be expanded, to us to understand what we're praying when we say these things. These are not just a few glib words, your kingdom come. This is just as much mind-blowing as us saying our Father to God. This is equally as, we're asking for God's kingdom to come. We're asking for God's kingdom to come. The kingdom of God is one of the main messages of Jesus. I'm just going to go through some things here now just to unpack that. This is big stuff. This is really big stuff. This isn't something that Jesus has just added on. Just pray this a little bit as well. In the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, this is the first thing he asks us to pray. Once the scene's been set, before we get into all the other petitions, it's your kingdom come. This is really the most important thing in the prayer. It's the biggest thing Jesus is asking us to pray, is your kingdom come. And this isn't just referenced once in the New Testament or the Gospels. It appears loads. Matthew alone contains 37 references to the kingdom of God. Together, the four Gospels specifically mention God's kingdom at least 86 times. And that doesn't count all the other oblique times when it's sort of referencing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is one of the main messages of Jesus Christ. This is big stuff we're talking about here. This is mind-blowing stuff. We're praying to the creator of the universe that his kingdom is going to come in our lives, in our communities, in our families, in our workplaces, and beyond. So this is how important this is. John the Baptist begins the entry point to Jesus' ministry, and his first message is about the kingdom of God coming. So John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus is saying, it's about the kingdom of God, guys, and Jesus is coming. The scene is being set. Jesus' first message and his continued messages time and time again are about the kingdom of God. This is something that Jesus talks about and lives out and breathes and shares, the kingdom of God. Jesus continually talked about how we can enter the kingdom of God. I'm not going to go for each Bible reference there, but I'm just showing you, this isn't just a one-off thing that Jesus is saying. This is a crucial part of the gospel, of the fullness of Jesus and his message, is the kingdom of God. His parables illustrate the truths of the kingdom of God and how it worked. Time and time again, when Jesus sits down with his disciples and the wider crowds and shares life with them and tells a parable, it's referencing and referring back to and highlighting and proclaiming the kingdom of God. His mighty works proved the kingdom of God was here. It's here with him. In Matthew 12, verse 28, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus is all the time walking, proclaiming, living, sharing, breathing the kingdom of God. Jesus wants the kingdom of God to be our first priority. It's in the Lord's Prayer. After we acknowledge who God is and holy and wonderful and Father, the first thing is the kingdom of God. There's something really important with this. Is everyone just grabbing hold? This is quite important. Just a few people. This is really important. There's something about the order. This is our first priority in the prayer. Our first petition is your kingdom come. It's the first thing we pray about when we pray this prayer, is the kingdom of God. Do we really understand what we're praying? When we have these times of our Father, do we pray the kingdom of God come in our lives, in our situations, in our communities and beyond? Or do we jump a bit further down that list of prayers and get to the daily bread? And which we heard last week is super important. God wants to give us our daily bread. But do we miss something out? Because we're missing the most amazing thing out. Your kingdom come. The book of Acts, which we studied together, we journeyed together as a church last year, begins with Jesus spending 40 days after he's died and resurrected. He's back 40 days after his resurrection, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. He does this awesome download to his disciples. This is the kingdom of God. And out of that, the church is born. And we're here today, 2,000 years later, because of that. It's the first thing Jesus does with those guys when he gathers them, is explain to them the kingdom of God. This is important stuff. This isn't a glib word we say as we rush on to our petition of, Lord, I need a new PlayStation. This is the kingdom of God. The book of Acts ends with Paul in prison, preaching about the kingdom of God for 2 years. All the gospels into the book of Acts. It's not even a thread. It's a massive, huge runway of the kingdom of God. You might have seen on the news all the people being evacuated from China, landing in Bryce Norton, big airplanes, big runway. This is huge. It's not a thread running through the gospel. The kingdom of God is the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the fullness of it. Our salvation is tied up into this as well. In Colossians 1:13, there's one translation there. He transferred us, and in your Bibles, you might even say, he rescued us into the kingdom of God of his beloved Son. Are we getting this? The kingdom of God is like super important. That's why it's the number one petition. That's why Jesus' whole life is about proclaiming, declaring and living this out. That's why in the book of Acts, it's all about the kingdom of God. We can't escape it. But do we understand what we're praying? When we pray this prayer, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Do we understand it? So what's the kingdom of God? Before I get to this prayer behind me, there's loads of different classical views. There's the eschatological, I can never say it, eschatological view, which is the end times. That's about the kingdom of God coming at the end and the end of history. So there's a view historically that's been that. There's something about the mystical kingdom of God, and that's us as believers, the kingdom of God in our hearts. We carry the kingdom of God. That's about us becoming disciples of Jesus and tends to be a focus on heaven in that view. There's a political view of the kingdom of God. It's justice and hope and restoration, setting captives free in the fullest sense of that word. And there's the institutional church has a role to play. That's us, the body of Christ, in this kingdom of God. The role of the body of Christ, bringing forth the kingdom of God. So for centuries, people have been grappling with this. Men and women a lot cleverer than I have talked this through and prayed this through and been to universities and theological seminars and seminaries and talked this through. What is the kingdom of God? Is it here? Is it now? Is it yet to come? That's what I'm going to try and do now, is just to go a little bit deeper and for us to take a little step further to understand and have confidence in when we pray this prayer, what it actually means. Because it is mind-blowing. Just as we pray, Father God, we're praying for his kingdom to come. So the people at the time, the Jewish people hearing this, they'd understand something of this. They're about Yahweh, the I am, the great I am. And God, for them, is moving history forward to this appointed end time. And that's something of the kingdom of God. It's this dynamic God moving forward all the time, his kingdom. There's an old Jewish prayer called the Kaddish. This is on the screen behind me. And this magnificent prayer declares something of the kingdom of God, of the power and majesty that is in the kingdom of God. May the great name of God be exalted and sanctified. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Throughout the world, which he has created according to his will, may his kingship be established in your lifetime and in your days. May your kingdom come. And in the lifetime of the entire household of Israel, swiftly and in the near future. See, the Jewish people 2,000 years ago, and I'd argue many Jewish people today, understand something when the kingdom of God's talked about, something that we probably miss. For the Jewish people, the kingdom of God isn't a physical place that God would rule, not even an identifiable people, even though they're God's chosen people over whom God would rule. The kingdom of God isn't heaven, yet they're declaring the reality of God as an active and dynamic king. Something of God now, but not yet. And I'll share a little bit more about that in a moment. There's something about God's kingdom now, but not yet. So, let's get to it. We've sung it a lot this morning. If I had to pick one word to describe what the kingdom of God is, it's this word. It is reign. It is reign. It's God reigning over everything, over the joy of new birth, over the grief and loss of a loved one, over governments and nations and our day-to-day lives and eternity and creation. This is what the kingdom of God is about. When we're praying, your kingdom come, we're praying, you reign. You reign. The kingdom creates a realm. The kingdom creates a people. But the kingdom of God is not synonymous with its realm or its people. Bit of John Piper for some of you thrown in there. We worship the king, not the kingdom. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the king reigning. When we're praying, your kingdom come, we're praying, King Jesus reign over everything. Over it all, every aspect of my life, over all the worries I bring to you, over my community, over this nation, over your creation, King Jesus, reign. This is what we're praying. Do we understand it? Do we get the power of these few words we're praying? It's not a glib thing that I prayed as a six-year-old boy with my eyes closed, not knowing what the words mean. This is earth-shattering, life-changing words. Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. You thought it was explosive when we prayed a few weeks ago, Our Father. Greg's not here, so we've got no whoops, Jason. We've got no whoops. This should be moment. We should be whooping that we can pray to our Father. This should be a communal noise of, can everyone give me a, we've got to whoop for our Father. Because it's that big. It's that big. It's everything. It's earth-shattering. It's life-changing. Do we understand the power we're invoking in this prayer? Your kingdom come. You reign. Do we really understand what we're asking for? Your kingdom come. You reign. We're asking for our Father, God, the creator of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the living, active God, Yahweh, I am. Not I was, not I will be, I'm now. You reign. His kingdom is here. It's coming. It's now. This is the central focus of the only prayer that Jesus teaches us. This is the central focus of the only prayer that Jesus teaches us. That's pretty important, isn't it? If Jesus is leaving us with, this is how you pray, the central focus of that entire prayer is God reigning. Your kingdom come. That is the central focus. Out of that, everything else flows. All the other petitions, which are important, which are life, forgiveness of sins, and our own attitude, our daily bread. Oh, that's really, really, really important. But the prayer that Jesus leaves the church with is a prayer of his kingdom coming, of him reigning. Hopefully when you have lunch today, Mike, you're with us, I'll be grilling you. Hopefully you're going to talk about this over lunch with your kids. Hopefully you're going to go back and go, oh my word, do we understand what we're praying? We're praying for God's reign over everything. I don't want you to go back and talk about the rugby or even talk about your fence that's been blowing down. God cares about those and they're the other petitions. But we have to start with the most important thing here. Your kingdom come, the central focus of this prayer. And out of that, everything else flows. You reign. And this is where it gets a bit complicated. I'm not going to spend ages on this. And as I said, cleverer people than me stumble over this all the time. Because the kingdom of God's here right now. Thank you. Right now in our lives, the kingdom of God's here. We're living it out. But it's not quite yet. It's not quite yet. So here's some clever people. John Piper again. So how can the kingdom of God be both not yet and present already? Jesus himself says, pray for it. It's coming. It's not yet here. It's not going to be immediate and yet already. It's present in your midst. It's upon you. It's at hand. How can Jesus say all those things? How can Jesus say all those things? The answer again is the kingdom of God is God's reign. The sovereign action in the world to redeem and deliver a people. And at future times, finish it and renew it, his people and the universe completely. I'll read that again. This isn't from me. This is from cleverer people than me. This is about God's reign, his sovereign action in the world to redeem and deliver a people. And then at a future time, finish it and renew his people and the universe completely. That captures something of the fullness of this kingdom prayer of him reigning. And this is an eminent theologian, John Piper. He says, we can be part of the kingdom in today's world, but the coming of Christ is also a kingdom that will come and we'll be later part of. The now, but the not yet. So don't stumble over this in your own faith walk and theological journey. This isn't something that you're going to lose salvation over. Don't even lose sleep over it. But it's something we need to grapple with a little bit. The now, but not yet. Daryl Johnson, who wrote a book on prayer himself, he says this, the now but not yet is the veiled versus the visible. The hidden versus the manifest. Jesus isn't hidden. The King is here, right where we are, right where we are. In all his glory, splendor and power. He's in your home. He's in your office. He's in your hospital room. Jesus Christ is at hand. He's just behind that thin, permeable veil of hiddenness. If and when God wants to, that veil can be pulled back and we'd all be on our knees. When the second coming of Christ is talked about in the word apocalypse and all these kind of things, that basically means unveiling. When the early church writes about the second coming of Jesus, the words they use just mean unveiling. It's like a bride unveiling. You know who you're getting married to. She's standing right there in front of you, hopefully. Yeah. You've talked beforehand. You've got a relationship. It's wonderful. You're in her presence. It's a beautiful moment. Are we getting it? Yeah? And then just the veil comes off. And you're married. So the language of the ancient church is about an unveiling. A pulling back of a curtain, a breaking through from hiddenness. We are praying for that unveiling as we pray, your kingdom come. As we pray God's reign, we're praying, unveil yourself more in our society, in our own lives, in our family. God, Jesus, be unveiled. There's an unveiling going on. So let's get to grips a little bit more about what this prayer is all about. And it's all about Jesus. We can't escape that. He's the king we're talking about. It's his reign and rule we're proclaiming and declaring. So Jesus inaugurates this kingdom in Mark 1. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus kicks this off. This kingdom of God, this reign and rule we're talking about, it's centered on Jesus. He's here. He inaugurates it. We're living in it now. Jesus is the kingdom. He's the king and the kingdom. We worship the king, not the kingdom. Where the king is, that's where the kingdom is. Where Jesus is, his kingdom's there. Jesus is with us. Jesus' purpose is the kingdom of God. It's the central focus of the prayer. It's about his rule and reign. Jesus reveals that his purpose is to proclaim the kingdom. In Luke 4:43, we have on the screen there. They must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. This is Jesus' mission. It's to preach the kingdom of God. Since God's purpose for the world is to save a people for himself and renew the world for those people, his kingly rule implies a saving and a redeeming activity on their behalf. This is why the coming of the kingdom in the New Testament is called the good news, the gospel. God, man, Jesus, and there's a response. There's a response that we all have to carry with that. That's the fullness of the gospel. Jesus' purpose is the kingdom. Jesus demonstrates the kingdom. He doesn't just talk the talk. Jesus walks the walk. Throughout his life and ministry, Jesus shows the poor, the power of the kingdom and his authority over the prince of darkness. Jesus' whole life is demonstrating the kingdom. He proclaims it and he lives it out. He not only declares the kingdom in words, but he demonstrates the kingdom in his actions. So when we're praying this prayer, your kingdom come, as our minds are being expanded to all of these things, are we living it out as well? Are we demonstrating the kingdom in our lives as well as praying it and proclaiming it? Jesus sends us out for his kingdom as well. He sends his followers out as ambassadors of the kingdom. In Luke 10, we've got the 72 being sent out, and Jesus' instruction is, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In Luke 10, verse 9. So his instruction to his disciples to go out is, your kingdom carriers, the kingdom of God is with you. The Great Commission at the end of Matthew, Matthew 28:18, is about the kingdom. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to us to make disciples. This is the kingdom. So as disciples of Christ today, our call is to prepare for the kingdom, to herald the kingdom, to live out the kingdom, to walk with justice and righteousness and hope and love and kindness and hospitality and healing to salvation and prayer and the fullness of it. This is our call as ambassadors of Christ to live this kingdom out. We're citizens. We're ambassadors. Jason started this morning off about our identity is in Christ. And all of it's linked together with the kingdom we're praying for and the reign and rule we're declaring. Jesus transforms the kingdom. At the beginning of his ministry, when he unrolls this huge scroll and he reads from Isaiah 61. And he takes a little bit of liberty there. As a rabbi, he takes some liberty. He doesn't read it word for word. He has some authority and he transforms a little bit of what this means. For the Jewish people sitting in that synagogue over 2,000 years ago, him reading this would have been a mind-blowing moment. The Messiah is in front of them and he's declaring what the kingdom of God is. This is what we're praying for when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is what Jesus reads out in Luke 4, the Nazareth Manifesto. It's not the Labour Party manifesto, the Conservatives, or Donald Trump ready for election. This is the kingdom manifesto. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus has totally reorientated the Jewish view of the Messiah just in that one moment. He's taken the prophecy over him and read it aloud. Jesus transforms a kingdom. And we're agents of change in that as well. And as I said, he doesn't just walk the walk. He does it. He gives sight to the blind. He enables the lame to walk. Lepers are healed. Captives are set free. Demons are cast out. The sick are healed. Dead are brought back to life. He befriends and he loves sinners. He calms the waves and the storms. And for the Jewish world, again, that's mind-blowing. The storm represented all the turmoil in creation. And Jesus is chilling on a boat. Stop. He does it all. He feeds the hungry. He champions the powerless. He stands in solidarity with the poor. This is about the blessings of the future breaking into the present. This is the kingdom of God. It's us calling the blessings of the future to break into the present. As we pray, your kingdom come. This is what we're praying. Not just some glib words. We're praying all of this and the fullness of it. And Jesus purchased the kingdom through his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. He redeems the kingdom. He purchases a kingdom people. That's us. Woo! We don't have to celebrate this just at Easter. I often share this at Easter time. We're a resurrection people. Thank you. That doesn't just one day of going, woo, resurrection. That's every single day. As we pray this prayer, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We declare the resurrection as well, because that's the kingdom. We're a resurrection people. Guys, be happy about it. Be happy. Again, be happy about it. It's really important stuff. So, what do we do with all of this then? I've just like hopefully dropped loads of stuff on you and some of you are like, what? And maybe you've just one thing I've said today has dropped with you. Others are trying to process probably 20 things. And maybe one or two of you have fell asleep. And that's fine. God can talk you through dreams. What happens now then? How does this affect us leaving this building? Maybe when you say this prayer of your kids tonight at bedtime. Or maybe as Pete Gregg does, he says it every lunchtime. Or maybe in your moment of most need, you get on your knees and pray this prayer. Actually, what's going to happen now? Your kingdom come should realign everything. Should realign our whole prayer life and our whole life. It's a call for us to pray beyond ourselves. And if you're doing the prayer course videos, they're going to talk loads about that. I'm not going to steal any of their thunder. It's about us praying with compassion beyond ourselves. It's about us praying for others. We're seeking the kingdom first above our own needs. It's a prayer of beyond in the biggest sense we can ever imagine. Your kingdom come. Beyond. Our response should be a response of obedience, of kingdom principles, of seeking the mind of Christ together, of putting the king first. Your kingdom come. You reign. This kingdom prayer refocuses, it recenters, it reorientates everything in our lives. If it doesn't, you haven't got it. Because it's about God's kingdom coming. It should be everything in this prayer. As you pray at lunchtime or tonight, just stop. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Just stop and breathe and go, wow, what have I just prayed? I've let a hand grenade off in my life and in my community because stuff's going to happen now. Because I've prayed for God's kingdom and rule and reign to happen. We need to be believing that as well when we pray this prayer. That when we pray your kingdom come, stuff's going to happen. Because we're praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This prayer forces us to go beyond our own needs. That's why it's ahead of our daily bread. It's not our daily bread first. It's your kingdom come first. It goes beyond our daily needs, our wants. It's about catching God's vision for his creation. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. God, what do you want for Whitney? What do you want Monday morning as I go into work? What do you want, God, with my annoying children? What do you want, God, for the interview for the principal of the King's School tomorrow? Please pray for that. That's what I'm going in for. It's about God's will being done. Not me thinking as a good candidate. It's about God's will being done. Please pray for the King's School if you have a moment today. It's about us catching God's vision for our families, our communities, nations, situations. It's about his rule and reign. It's a call to go forth to proclaim and live out the reign of God. Hopefully you've seen there's something active in this prayer as well. Jesus didn't just pray it and then go and chill out. He prayed it and he did it. He prayed it and he proclaimed it. This is just mind-blowing. In preparing this, I got so many books out and read loads. And I was reading Daryl Johnson's book on prayer and Pete Gregg's one and John Piper's stuff. And there's this guy called Kenneth Bailey who wrote about Jesus through Middle Eastern eyes. And it's mind-blowing. It's how Middle Eastern people reflect on Jesus. And we don't understand half of who Jesus is because we're Western, aren't we? And we see all these things through Western eyes and all that stuff. And I just, my mind just got more and more blown. You know what? It's okay. It's okay for have your mind blown in this. Because the first bit of the prayer was, our Father. And that's why the order is important. We're not just praying for his mind-blowing rule and reign first. This is a loving Father hugging us as we pray these prayers. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. You reign. Rebecca. So we're going to do something a bit different in a response now. Is that, are we willing to pray your kingdom come? Can we actually pray it? And it not be just a glib word, a lip service word. And there is zero judgment for me in this. We're going to go into worship, then we're going to pause. I'm going to put a prayer on the screen behind us. And these are three prayers that unpack something of God's kingdom coming, of his reign in our lives. If you can't pray these prayers, that is fine. Don't do it just because the person next to you is doing it. Because it's about having a real relationship with our Father God. And if you're praying this stuff and it's blowing your mind, but you're still praying it, that's fine. Because the first bit of this prayer is, our Father. And the whole reason we can pray your kingdom come is because we prayed our Father first. Do we get that? This isn't done through pass and fail, or you're not living up to it, or it's done through love and a relationship. With the Creator God, which is the most amazing thing ever. But we're praying for his kingdom to come. So we're going to sing, then we're going to pause. And if you want to, we're going to pray a prayer about the kingdom coming in us. And then we're going to sing again. And we're going to pause. And we're going to pray about the kingdom coming through us. And then we're going to sing. And we're going to pause. And we're going to pray about the kingdom coming through us as the body of Christ into our towns and our communities. But only pray these prayers if you want to go on this adventure with God. These aren't just some token words we're throwing out here. These are the most amazing few words you're going to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. That is the most amazing thing you're ever going to say in your whole life. It's massive, it's love, it's beyond, it's proclamation, and it's rule and reign.
Shall we stand?
So will you pray for the kingdom of God to come? Will you pray for the kingdom to come? So I'm going to read this prayer out, and then if we can read it together. But if you don't want to say this prayer, that's fine. There's zero judgment. But it's about us just unpacking a little bit together and putting it on our lips of something about what the kingdom is. Father, manifest the all-readiness of your rule in my life. Break through any darkness, King Jesus. Illuminate every corner of my life with your healing light. Father, break through any resistance in my soul. King Jesus, humble me, forgive me, cleanse me. Father, break the bondage that enslaves me. King Jesus, free me, restore me. Father in heaven, break through the patterns of my life that support or perpetuate injustice. King Jesus, give me courage to follow you, what may come. It's about the kingdom coming in us. I'm going to read it again. I will do it slower this time, Mary. I get excited, Mary. If you want to join me as we pray this together. Father, manifest the all-readiness of your rule in my life. Break through any darkness. King Jesus, illuminate every corner of my life with your healing light. Father, break through any resistance in my soul. King Jesus, humble me, forgive me, cleanse me. Father, break the bondage that enslaves me. King Jesus, free me, restore me. Father in heaven, break through the patterns of my life that support or perpetuate injustice. King Jesus, give me courage to follow you, come what may. Next prayer. Will you pray for the kingdom of God to come through you? And this is about us laying our petitions down. This is a prayer of obedience as we ask for his rule and reign. I'll read it through first, slowly, and then if you can join me if you want the second time. Father in heaven, manifest the all-readiness of your rule through my life. Some big words here now. I am yours. I make myself available to you for your purposes in the world. King Jesus, through me, make yourself real in my part of the world. Make me an instrument of your peace. And we'll read this together now. Father in heaven, manifest the all-readiness of your rule through my life. I am yours. I make myself available to you for your purposes in the world. King Jesus, through me, make yourself real in my part of the world. Make me an instrument of your peace.
Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom.
And the final aspect of this prayer is about us praying that this kingdom will come through us, the body of Christ, and in our town and our communities. Once again, I'll read it through. And if you want to say this prayer together afterwards. Father in heaven, make us, your church, a clear and engaging sign that the future is breaking into the present. Grant, O God, that when Whitney looks at us, it sees you and your new world order. King Jesus, do through us what you did when you walked the earth in visible form. Through us, heal the sick, free the captives, reconcile enemies, and raise the dead to the newness of life. So we'll read this together. Father in heaven, make us, your church, a clear and engaging sign that the future is breaking into the present. Grant, O God, that when Whitney looks at us, it sees you and your new world order. King Jesus, do through us what you did when you walked the earth in visible form. Through us, heal the sick, free the captives, reconcile enemies, and raise the dead to the newness of life. Amen. This and so much more we've been talking about this morning. It's all of this and so much more when we pray those words, let your kingdom come. My heart is bring it on. Bring it. Bring on your revolution in our lives, in our families, in the workplaces, in the communities that we touch. When we pray this prayer, bring it. It's not glib words. Restore a broken humanity. Reverse the effects of sin. Come and reign without rival. And when we pray these words, that's what we are praying. Come and reign without a rival. King of kings and Lord of lords. God bless you. Amen.